Thank you, Robert. It's really a pleasure to be doing this taping with you today and talking about our life together in terms of business and investing and in learning together. I graduated from college with a degree in business and marketing and immediately went out and got a job in the, quote, real world. And what I discovered was what I learned in college, all the theory, all the textbook, was not what I needed in the real world of business. So when you and I first got together, I remember the first question you ever asked me, and that was, what is it that you want to do with your life? And I said, I want to learn how to build a business. And you said, well, I've been doing that for the past so many years, and I'll teach you what I know. And within 3 months, you and I had started our first business, which was embroidered shirts. And we only had one purpose for that business, and that was to fund for 1 year our education. We wanted to travel throughout the U.S. and go to seminars and conferences and get some education as well as hands-on experience. And that's what we did. And that's what that business funded, all of our travel, all of our tuition.
And that's what I was really excited about personally, was that it was the very first time I had met a woman I was attracted to, but also, you know, physically she's gorgeous, but also mentally it was we were on the same wavelength, that we wanted to learn the same things. And that was very important to me because, as I said earlier, I saw couples growing apart rather than growing together. In other words, you know, my business partners being entrepreneurs and their spouses being employees or self-employed or specialists, they'd spend more time apart than they did together. And as the stress came in due to lack of money and building a business, I saw the marriages break apart. And I said, that's not what I want for me. So when I met Kim, it was very exciting because she and I took a year off and we just traveled the U.S. and parts of the world, going to different seminars from different parts of the world. And the way we funded it was via this little business. And that's when our relationship really became stronger and stronger and stronger. I felt more madly in love with her because instead of growing apart, education brought us together. We were learning together. And learning means actually doing, you know, trial and error. There were many mistakes we made. There were sometimes it was really frightening because sales didn't go the way we wanted to go. But as a couple, we grew stronger because the trials and the tribulations bound us, made us stronger. So we have tremendous amount of reality in common because we chose to learn together as a couple. And it wasn't just textbook, it was real life. I mean, there were some really tough times, weren't there?
There were some very tough times. I have to say that when I met Robert initially, I wanted a partner, a personal partner who was also my business partner, because I thought that would be the ultimate for me. I always thought that my education ended the day I graduated from college, and I now realize it had only just begun. I didn't understand how exciting it was to continue to learn, and now I know that it will be a lifelong process. And as Robert said, yes, we had some tough times. When we decided to start building our business together, I left my job. I was running a magazine in Honolulu, and Robert left his factory that he had built, and we took off from Honolulu with $900 in our pocket and 4 suitcases between us, and we headed off to California to start building our business. And within 2 weeks, that $900 was gone, and basically we were knocking on people's doors looking for a place to sleep. We slept on floors. We slept in a borrowed, beat-up brown Toyota.
I called it a camping trip. But the fact we were really quite homeless at that time.
We were homeless.
Money was running out so quickly. It was frightening.
I used to think that money created greedy people and created problems. But I'll tell you, not having the money created so much stress and so much pressure. I say to people that we met in 1984, and 1985 was the worst year of our life. Now, in retrospect, all that we learned and all that we had to go through to get through that time and to persevere, in retrospect, was probably the best year of our life because it made us who we are today. But when I had phone calls from my parents and they'd say, how come you don't get a job? What's Robert doing? What are you doing? You should be working. You should be making money. Our friends would say, why don't you go get a job in real estate? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? There were so many people telling us what we should do. And basically what they were saying is, why don't you do what we do? But Robert and I were very, very determined to build our business, and we persevered.
We're often asked, what did we learn during that period? And I think what we found out, one of the most important lessons I learned was who your friends are. And people do love you, and they do have their different points of view. But we also quickly found out who were our real business partners. For we didn't move just to California on a lark. We actually moved to take over a business, and we found out that the people that we were going into business with didn't necessarily keep their agreements with us. And so suddenly we were out on the streets living in this little brown Toyota. And I think the hardest point was to keep going forward or to go back and get a job, like everybody was saying. And everybody kept saying, why not go backwards? And I knew that I had come too far to go back. It's like, you know, no man's land between the trenches and World War I. You're halfway between it. Just keep going forward. So what happened was that I found out who our friends were. I found out what a great, strong person Kim was. We fell more in love. The toughness actually bound us together. I found that I could trust her to keep going with me. And I think the high point or the low point was at the motel, the Sixpence Motel, when we were absolutely flat broke. We had no place to go. This was in Del Mar, California, and we had nothing. So, Kim, why don't you tell the listeners about how we spent our last dollars? We're out of money, and we're clinging on to these last 50 bucks. That's all we had. And we knew if we spent that, there was nothing left. And at that time when you have nothing, it's really interesting what you value, like a meal.
A shower.
Clean shower, clean sheets. And we said, let's spend the money on that. And that's when our friend dropped us off at the Sixpence Motel. With our last $50, we checked in.
Yeah, he dropped us off and he said, you sure you want to do this? And we said, absolutely, we're going to do this. So I went in and I put down the $50 and the guy handed the keys to me across the counter and I was ecstatic. And then we actually spent $40 and then we took the other $10 and Robert and I walked down the street to the Kentucky Fried Chicken and we got a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken and a six-pack of beer and we went back to this room.
Clean sheets, a television set, and a bucket of fried chicken. We thought we had gone to heaven.
We died and went to heaven. It was definitely the high point.
And that's when it turned around for us, when we were willing to the point to go to nothing and keep going. And I think that's when everything started turning for us. It was really a magical night.
It did. I think that's one of the greatest things I've learned out of this whole experience of that time was that if we were ever to get back into that position, which I don't ever envision we would, but I'm not afraid of it. I'm not afraid of failing, where before I would be afraid that I might lose everything. If we did lose it, we would make it back.
I think that was probably the biggest lesson, that we could get down to nothing. Because when I say that, I know so many people, when I talk to them, the reason they cling to their job security, even if it's not as much money as they want, or they cling to whatever they cling to. Oh, I got to pay the mortgage. I want to keep my car. Whatever they cling to, the stuff, it's not that bad. I mean, the moment you get there, it's like the epiphany, you know, the moment of truth that you can still go forward with nothing. It's kind of freeing. And I'm not recommending it. Please hear me. I am not recommending it. But when people say, what did you learn? You learned that your spirit is stronger than the physical reality around you. I can still remember clean white sheets, a television set, and a bucket of chicken. And I thought that was just heaven. I mean, it was everything. It was more than all the money in the world at that moment. We can keep going. And that's all it meant. And right after that, things started to change. And I think, you know, the universe, God wants to test your spirit. You know, will you get to the point of nothing and keep going? I think that was the lesson. Can you get to nothing and keep going? And it was a test. And I really felt we went through that test at that moment. And from there on, our education, what we've learned is that we can survive. We all have fears. We all have doubts. I don't want to ever go back to that position again. But I know I can handle it. If I could pass on that lesson, is that who you are is far stronger than sometimes you give yourself credit for.